Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Success Tracks. You know, tonight's very, very special because it's the first month of our new teleconference format, and I hope you find this an incredibly convenient way to learn and grow. I hope you're all in your easy chairs with a nice non-alcoholic drink beside you and having some fun. So we've got tons of exciting programs planned for you on this format. Now, when I announced this new format, I told you that I wanted to be able to bring you some of the top teachers on the planet. And I also told you that I wanted to bring you some of my teachers, the people that have been instrumental in my life. And really, I would say that tonight we have someone that made a huge, huge difference for me. I met our guest trainer about 10 years ago, and he was facilitating a course called Money and You. And in the next 3 days, when I took that course, I learned more about money, business, and myself than I had in the past 3 or probably 10 years before that. I also learned what a great teacher is really like. And our guest tonight is a best-selling author and one of the top financial and business educators in the world. His book is called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he is the creator of a best-selling game called Cash Flow. I want to introduce you to someone who truly changed my life, Mr. Robert Kiyosaki. Take it away, Robert.
Well, Harp, thanks very much for having me on your program. I'm speaking from Phoenix, Arizona right now. And I wish it was only 10 years ago. I think it's more like 15, isn't it? It's been a long time. So I'm very honored to be on your program. So for those of all who are listening, my book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, has, to my surprise, has now been on the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, in Australia, New Zealand, has been on the bestseller list for over 2 years now. And in April 8th, 1977, I released that book, and I produced 1,000 copies of it. And I thought 1,000 copies, that should last me at least 2 years. I give it to my friends and all this. And we've now gone over 1 million copies of it worldwide. And so I'm humbled and, I'm kind of impressed with myself, actually. And when people call me up and they think I know something now, well, I didn't know anything more than I do today than 15 years ago when I met Harv Eker. So I'm humbled to be speaking to people tonight about what I know about money and investing and finance and all that. So that's basically my background. For those of you who have read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it is fundamentally a true story. It's about my poor dad, who was a PhD in education. He's my real dad, and he was head of education for the state of Hawaii, where I grew up. And he was an academic genius, except he was a financial incompetent. And the reason I call him my poor dad is because he always thought that if he worked harder and made more money, that working harder and making more money would solve his money problems. Unfortunately, as most people know past age 30, that more money and working harder does not solve the money problems. In fact, money oftentimes causes more problems than it solves. And so when I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it was really out of respect to my poor dad, but also out of respect to my rich dad, who was my best friend's father. And my best friend's father ultimately became one of the richest men in the state of Hawaii. So for those who have not read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad starts when I was the age of 9. And my rich dad began teaching me about how to use money in my favor, unlike my poor dad, who in many ways disrespected money. And money ultimately was his demise, or it was his downfall. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a true story based upon 6 fundamental basic lessons about money. And the subtitle is What the Rich Teach Their Kids About Money That Poor Middle Class Do Not. And since most of us went through school know that our school system teaches us very little, if anything, about the subject of money. In fact, the school system is more predicated upon you getting a job than learning how to manage money. And I think that's where most of our problems begin, is that the rich teach their kids about money at home, and we learn nothing about money at school. And so that's why I wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Could you help me out? Any questions you want to ask me?
No, you're doing great. Just keep it going.
Okay. So I would say that Rich Dad, Poor Dad is really a philosophical difference. It is not a money difference. My poor dad always said that if you worked, you know, he said, go to school, get good grades, and find a safe, secure job, and then work hard and be a good, hard-working man. And my rich dad, who was a man who didn't graduate from high school, he dropped out of school at age 13 because his father died and he had to take over the family business. And what he told me was, he says, the people who work the hardest get paid the least and are taxed the highest. So the subject of money is a very, in my opinion, a subject worth studying. Unfortunately, most of us don't ever study it. So in Rich Dad, Poor Dad, there were six basic lessons. And lesson number one was that the rich do not work for money. So when you say to somebody, go to school and get a high-paying job, you're consciously and subconsciously programming them to work for money. And that's the reason most people never get rich, is because they've been programmed from their environment, their home, their culture, and the environmental school to work hard for money. If you want to be rich, you have to have money work hard for you. On a more technical basis, there's three fundamental different types of income. And it's not covered in Rich Dad Poor Dad, but I'll give it to you now. The income is called earned income, there's passive income, and there's portfolio income. Hey, somebody else on the line? So, there's three different kinds of income. So when you say to somebody, go to school to get a job or become a doctor or a lawyer, you're teaching them to work for earned income. And the one problem with earned income is the most highly taxed income there is. So the problem with working hard for money is that the harder you work, the more money you make, the more higher taxed you are. My rich dad taught me to work for passive income and portfolio income. Passive income is fundamentally income from real estate, and portfolio income is income from paper assets, such as stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and notes. So that when you look at Bill Gates, who was a billionaire in his 30s, he worked very hard for portfolio income, or shares of his company. Donald Trump became a multimillionaire because he worked hard for passive income, which is income from real estate. So if you want to be rich, you really do need to know what kind of income you work hard for. So as Harv knows, most of my income comes from real estate, and I worked very hard to acquire passive income because it's the least taxed income there is. And portfolio income, which most of the middle class is working for now, is in the form of mutual funds. And mutual funds are great for the average individual, but it's very hard to get rich on mutual funds. The rich don't get rich on mutual funds. The other problem with mutual funds is that the tax laws are written against mutual funds. And, for example, is if the mutual fund goes up, and everybody's happy when it goes up, when the mutual fund dives and it goes down, what happens to the individual then is that they are taxed for a loss. In other words, they've lost money, and the government will then tax you for the money you've lost. Real estate is completely different, is in that you can make a lot of money in real estate, and because you're making money, the government will give you a tax benefit for making money. So they'll reward you for making money by giving you losses. So it's almost completely opposite. The point I'm making here is this, is what my rich dad taught me was called financial intelligence. Is you really did need to know, more than working for money, you had to know the tax laws, the corporate laws, the business laws, and the quirks that went involved inside of each type of investment and in business. The average person coming out of school learns nothing about these differences. So that was rule number one. It's the reason I worked so very hard for passive income from real estate is very simply because I could get rich on that. It's really hard to get rich working for money. And that was rule number one.
Robert,
yeah.
When you talk about passive income coming from real estate, isn't there several other methods of passive income, including, for example, passive income from business operations?
Yes, there is, but in technical accounting terms, it's still considered earned income.
Mm-hmm.
What an investor really needs to do is learn how to convert earned income into passive or portfolio. If you do not learn how to do that, that's why a lot of times lottery winners who make a lot of money are soon broke, is because they never convert their earnings into passive or portfolio.
Because they don't have anything left.
Well, because they don't know how to do it. They went to school, and they've never learned how to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the problem. The point I want to make to everybody tonight is, I really thank Harv for introducing me and having me speak to people, is my message, the reason Rich Dad Poor Dad is so successful is I made it simple. And the point I want to make to everybody is keep it simple. Always keep it simple. I learned everything about money playing Monopoly. And that was, and in the game Monopoly, most of us have played the game. The formula for wealth of the rich is in that game. It's four greenhouses, and then you tax defer exchange it into a red hotel. It is not any more complicated than that. What really personally upsets me is all of these gurus coming on CNBC and CNN, FN, and all this, and they speak this gobbledygook, or, you know, and they make it so complex that people actually got confused. And what I really want to say to people is fundamentally simple. It's basically common sense. So lesson number two is financial literacy. The reason people have a hard time investing and doing businesses is because you've been taught to work for rich people instead of learning how to be a rich person. The thing that my rich dad taught me was the fundamental of financial intelligence, which is really what's required, is financial literacy. You have to be able to read a financial statement. So when people say to me, well, how do you say investing is not risky? I said, because I can read the financials. I can read the numbers. I don't invest in the company. Same as Warren Buffett, America's richest investor. He says, if it doesn't make financial sense, don't buy it. What most people are trying to do is they're not investors. They're trying to be speculators. They're trying to guess the momentum or the emotional momentum of the market. Is the market going to go up or market going to go down? That's not what an investor does. Warren Buffett says, I never go to Wall Street simply because that's not where I find out my best deals. You don't do it by watching television and watching all these gurus speak about money. It is basic fundamentals. Is a company well run? Is it profitable? Is it well managed? And does it have a huge potential in the future? That's what you invest in. But you can't see that if you've never been taught to read a financial statement. So what Harv was talking about with my game Cash Flow is that I created the game Cash Flow. It's a very hard game. It's a very expensive game, but it teaches you what a business owner and an investor needs to know, which is cash flow management. You must know that if you want to be rich. So it's fundamentally simple. Anything else you want to ask me, Harv?
No, go right ahead. You're doing great.
Okay, so Rich Dad Poor Dad goes into other things. So there's a couple of things. I'm coming up with my third book right now, and it should be out probably in March of next year, and it's called What My Rich Dad Taught Me About Investing. And in there, again, I go into more of the philosophical thing, because what my rich dad taught me was that money is just an idea. And so when I talk to Harv, I've known Harv for years now, what Harv has been striving to do, and he is a teacher just like me, is that what causes you to be rich or poor has very little to do with the economy, whether it's internet stocks or gold mining shares or this or that or real estate and all this. It comes down to what are the ideas in your head, and underneath the ideas is the vocabulary. One of the reasons people are rich or poor is that the problem with going to school and doing really well in school is you learn the vocabulary of a school teacher. You learn the words of math, science, academics, SAT, that stuff. But that's not what makes you rich. What makes you rich is the vocabulary of finance. So in other words, the word mortgage. The word mortgage, most people banter that word around, but it's a very dangerous word. The word mortgage comes from the French word mortier, which means death. So in other words, mortgage means engagement until death. And what happens to the average person, the middle class person, is that they go to school, they graduate, and they get themselves a mortgage, or they buy a credit card debt, and then they get themselves in debt until the day they die and they can't get ahead. The second thing on the vocabulary is they don't know the difference between assets and liabilities. So you buy yourself a house, and because you can't read a financial statement, the banker says to you, your house is an asset. Well, he's not lying to you. He or she's not lying to you. Your house really is an asset. It's not your asset. It's his asset. And so what's happening to the middle-class people is that they're buying liabilities. Their banker has, and accounting rules have said that you're allowed to call your liability an asset. And again, it goes back to The difference between a rich person and a poor person is their vocabulary. How well do you understand the definition of the words? So for those of you who really want to be rich, you've got to, it's very simple, just change your vocabulary. So when I created the cash flow games, was to teach people income statements, balance sheets, and the vocabulary of what it takes of finance, which is what it takes to be rich, or the finance, or the words of business. So the American or the English language, the Canadian language, is approximately 2 million words. The average person has command of 5,000 of those 2 million words. So a poor person oftentimes has command of a poor vocabulary, and when they string the syntax of the words together, how they string them together, they have things like, they say like, oh, I can't afford it. The power of those words determines the reality of your life. If you say, I can't afford it for all your life, then from the Bible, I'm not a very religious person, but I went to Sunday school and it said the word becomes flesh. And so people who say, I can't afford it, that ultimately becomes their reality on life. And so what I say to most people, you know, they want, well, teach me about investing, teach me about business. I say, well, just change your vocabulary and watch what you think, watch what you say. My poor dad constantly said, I can't afford it. And that became true in his life. My rich dad was a man who said he forbade his son and me from ever saying those words. He says, instead of saying, I can't afford it, ask yourself how I can afford it. And just that simple definition or simple change in the way we string our words, the syntax of our words and our vocabulary, has changed the outcome of my life. So for those of you who want to change your life right now, it is very simply change your vocabulary and change your thinking, because words ultimately do become flesh or the reality.
Robert?
Yeah.
Earlier you alluded to the aspect of assets and liabilities, and in your book you said that rich people spend their time and energy acquiring assets, while
right.
poor and middle-class people acquire liabilities.
Right.
So can you go into some specifics as to what exactly is the difference between assets and liabilities? And maybe, you know, you had a little bit of a diagram that people might be able to kind of jot down and so that they know exactly what is the difference between them?
Yeah, I would suggest looking at the rich dad, poor dad. Rich dad is only $16 in the United States, or as cheap as possible. But I made rich dad, poor dad as simple as possible with diagrams. But it's more into the mistake that people make is they think a thing external to themselves is the asset or liability. They say, well, a house is an asset. Well, that's not true. Or a business is an asset. Well, that's not true. Or a stock is an asset. Well, that's not true. You see, the definition that my rich dad gave me for an asset is something that puts money in your pocket whether you work or not. And a liability is something that takes money from your pocket whether you work or not. So when most people buy a house, in the general sense of it, they call it an asset, but if you read the financials on the expense column, the house is costing them more money. In other words, it's not putting any money in their pocket, it's taking money from their pocket. And where that money goes, every time you write that mortgage payment, the insurance payment, the tax payment, where that money is going to, it's going to the real asset holder. Number one is the government for the real estate tax. Number two is the bank, because they hold a mortgage, like I said, you know, so the money flows into their pocket, and then repairs and insurance and all those things. So for most people, what they think is an asset is really a liability.
So what does somebody do? I mean, are you suggesting that people don't own a home?
No.
Or that they don't have mortgages, or what would you suggest there?
It's a very good question. The point I'm making, I'm drinking diet root beer too. So anyway, the point I'm making here is that the asset liability has nothing to do external to yourself. Is that your financial intelligence. In other words, you are the asset or the liability. In other words, if you buy a house and you're losing money on it, then you're the liability. If you buy a house, like a rental property or an apartment house, then you're the asset. I've seen a lot of people buy a business and absolutely run it into the ground and lose money on it. So it's nothing to do with the business. It has to do with the individual's lack of managerial experience. That's the liability. So the asset of liability, I'm saying, is not external to yourself. It's your ability to manage your financial resources at that moment. So I can buy a piece of property that's losing money and then make it into a property that makes money. So the real thing is nothing to do with the house or the business or the stock or the bond. It really has to do with my ability to manage the thing that I bought.
You suggesting that people do own their own home, though, at least?
No, I'm not suggesting any of that. All I'm saying here, Harv, is that don't call a liability an asset.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing. I'm not against home ownership. The other thing, which we'll swing into the next point, if I could, really quickly, mm-hmm. which is not in this book, which is in my third book, is the biggest mistake I hear people saying today is a lot of books out today who are telling you to get out of debt. That is really stupid. That is the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my whole life. I talk about if you want to be rich and you have to know the difference between good debt and bad debt. Bad debt is debt that takes money out of your pocket, and good debt is debt that puts money in your pocket. So it makes a lot of sense to get out of bad debt, i.e. credit card debt, mortgage debt and all that stuff, if it's taking money out of your pocket. But I am personally tens of million dollars in debt, but those tens of millions of dollars are making me tens of millions of dollars in debt. I mean, in income, should I say. So the point I'm trying to say here to people, what most people want is a simple, give me the cookie-cutter answer. If you really want to be successful, what Harv is trying to say to people is you really do not, you do need to start thinking for yourself and saying, well, there's some debt that actually makes me money, and there's debt that loses me money. So obviously what I want is debt that makes me money. So all these people going on television writing these books saying live frugally, live cheaply, that's, to me personally, violates every principle in my body. The reason I say that is because if you live cheap and you become rich, the problem with being cheap and becoming rich is you're still cheap. And if you look throughout history, the world has hated rich people who are cheap. There was a book called Silas Marner, who hated this rich man who was cheap. A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens was about Scrooge, who was a rich man who was cheap. I really do not think that you should be rich and cheap. But if that's what you believe, that's fine with me. I don't really like that. Personally, I think that if you want to be rich, you should be generous. And you should be generous to yourself also. But that takes financial intelligence. There's too many people going around today saying the way to get rich is by being cheap. That is not my experience. In my experience, what my rich dad taught me was this. There's only two kinds of money problems. This is my third book. One problem is not having enough money, and the second problem is having too much money. And so very early on in my life, I had to make a decision, what kind of money problems did I want? Did I want to have not enough money or too much money? Both of them are problems. And that's really hard for people to understand. But we've all seen experiences where somebody has won the lottery, they made too much money, and almost instantaneously they go broke again. The reason for that is they never changed their financial intelligence, never changed their perspectives, and they never changed their point of view on money. Somewhere along the line, for people to become rich, then they may need to start frugally, maybe even being cheap, saying, I'm going to save some money and start investing. But ultimately, if you really follow very sound money principles, so much money will come in that you need to change the point of view from a poor person to a rich person. If you do not make the change from poor to rich, you become poor again. And I've seen that happen over and over again. One of my best friends, he's made $3 million in the market. It's only made his problems worse. He's coming up to me saying, I'm so afraid of losing. And guess what? I suspect he's going to lose it. But the reason is because he's still a poor person with $3 million. He's never learned to think like a rich person. What does a rich person do with $3 million? So the point I'm making here is this, is that there's a time to be frugal, a time to be cheap. But there's also a time to start spending like a rich person. And most people do not make that transition. They wind up staying poor and dying poor. That makes no sense to me. Why would you want to live poor and die poor? I cannot comprehend that at all.